Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You may have listened to part one yesterday of James Gill taking over Crystal Palace.
Well, I hope you have, otherwise this will make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. As you know, we cut it in two because there was so much great content we didn't want to get rid of. We wanted to give you all the good stuff, but in, you know, bite-sized digestible chunks.
Yeah.
And so here is part two of James on his mission with Crystal Palace.
But crucially, do listen to part one first, otherwise this will make no
listen
sense
to part
whatsoever.
One. Listen to part one if you haven't.
I used to work at the London paper. That was a sweet gig. And I'd gone down to Motspur Park to interview a Fulham player. Got the train from Motspur Park back towards the London paper. Who was on the same carriage? Roy Hodgson. So I thought, I've got to sit with the legend. This is when he was Fulham manager. So I sat with Roy all the way back. Had a lovely chat. And then
was he fine with that? Generally, was he?
He was lovely. He's a pure gentleman. And then we got to Waterloo, I think. And then we both got the wrong ticket. And we get to the barrier. Both of us, beep, 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 beep. And the guy comes over and goes, come this way, Mr. Hodgson, and then doesn't miss a beat to me. That's a £20 fine.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Did Roy pay it for you?
Absolutely not. He was out of there. Long, flicking bees as he walked away.
What an absolute astard.
Lloyd, any experiences with Roy Hodgson that you want to tell us about?
I
got a limo with him, did you?
Yeah.
I mean, I've met him, yeah. I met him at the London Football Awards, great awards.
How did he get there?
Well, how did he get there? I'm assuming car.
But that bone sticking out of his shoulder.
Yeah. We actually chatted about classical music, well, choral music.
That's nice.
So, James, what are you doing next? You've got your sort of transfer policy was, I guess, based on the idea of no bees allowed. How would he do the press conferences when you're about to, say, play Brentford next week? Tough team you're facing in soon, isn't it?
Yes, they're a great team.
Just don't ever mention
just
them.
Don't ever mention
just
the
don't
team.
Don't ever mention
mate.
Them.
Okay, fine.
What a fine out here there. Thomas Frank doing a great job.
Okay, you're playing Man United in the cup final. They've got a great penalty taker, haven't they? Are you worried about their penalty taker?
No.
And free kick taker?
No. Next question.
All right, fine. He's got it. He's worked it
also,
out.
Also, Fernandes.
Yeah, yeah, you could just go. Yeah.
Didn't need to sidestep that one.
No, yeah.
Signings. So any Palace fan, they're just waiting for me to say this, I would bring back Dougie Friedman.
Okay.
Every Palace fan listening going, yep, correct,
again,
obviously.
With your mentality of the future?
Yep, 49 years old. Yeah. Now, Palace have, he would still do a job, he had magic in his feet. Palace have such a, they have such a, it's visceral affinity with bringing these kids through. They love it, right? So we have brought through down the years the likes of Nathaniel Clyne, Gareth Southgate, Richard Shaw. Please, James, make it sound more obvious that you're reading this. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Ben Watson, scored the winner in the FA Cup final for Wigan. Wilfred Zaha, Victor Moses, right. And then we're very good at signing these young players as Elise is 21, Gay is 22. So what I would do is just to totally appease the fans, just have literal local South London children play for Crystal Palace, right? So it would be Dougie Freeman. Oh, I'd also bring back Emerson Boyce. We had a fullback called Emerson Boyce, and I would bring him back. I think he captained that FA Cup team that Watson scored. Anyway, he captained Wigan, but he played for Palace before Wigan, and I would bring Emerson Boyce back. He was such a lovely guy, mostly to apologise for this moment. So I covered them home and away. Boyce, top 10 nicest dudes that had ever been at the club, and I was with these journalists, and I knew Emerson, you know, when I say well, in terms of like as the local journalist could with the players. And I was with these other journalists, and Emerson Boyce came out of the training ground. I was walking down the steps, he's walking up, and he's a lovely guy. And he played for Barbados. And he comes over to me, James, how you doing? You're right. And I went, Emerson, great to see you. And he put his fist out,
oh, God.
And in front of everyone, before I knew it, I did the whitest thing ever, shook the fist.
Shook the fist.
Mm. I think about that once a week minimum. And so I would bring him back. I would sit him down. I would like to apologise formally for shake. I mean, he definitely wouldn't remember this, but nevertheless, just for like therapeutic reasons. So the team would be Emerson.
But you know
Boyce,
what would happen if you did that?
Go on.
You'd say, "Listen, Emerson, water under the bridge, and stick your hand out for a handshake."
And then,
and he'd be there with a fist again. You're in an infinite loop.
And he'd go, "Why are you not saying my surname?" And I'm like, "Doesn't matter."
How was Gargadon?
Dougie Freeman, Emerson Boyce, and then nine children, right?
From South London.
From South London. I think every single 3 p.m. match we would win, and any parents of young kids would go, correct. The energy levels would be there. You can't, Man City can't cope with that. They're going to run them ragged. I will, but you're thinking, hang on, if you're winning every single 3 p.m. match, you're going to win the league. No, because any midweek match, 8 o'clock kickoff, we're in real trouble. Yeah, it's an hour after bedtime. So I'm conceding that we're going to lose every single midweek match, but we'll make up for it by winning every single afternoon kickoff.
Sure. So even if they've stayed up, they're going to be grumpy.
So grumpy.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper crying at 4-0. I mean, it's going to be a minefield.
They're going to be grumpy and they're going to be saying, "I'm not tired," and you're going to have to give them all an iPad.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then they're getting overtired.
Yeah.
Oh, there'll be a hell to pay. Training the next day. Oh my God.
No chance.
Grump personified.
Social service involved at this point, or is it just...
No, get them free tickets. They'll be in hospitality. Okay, keep them sweet. So yeah, that is my ticket to 12th.
Nice. Brilliant. Okay.
Thank you.
Are you going retro at all with the kit? Bringing back any old kits? Or are you going... Oh, so we've got the new badge is the date. Today's date.
Today's date.
Sponsor?
The new kit is actually very, very modern, isn't it? It's like a scribbly...
Exactly.
Like,
keep the kids happy.
Okay, so it's got to be... It's
very modern. It is scribbly. It's like kids have scribbled it with felt tip pen.
Yeah.
I'll tell one of the kids that we picked their design. Just keep them happy. The sponsor would be this. You ready?
Yeah.
The Brighton rivalry is not a real rivalry. Oh, bit of Roy Hodgson there. He's not... Can't keep that in. The Brighton rivalry is not a real rivalry. Let's end this madness now. Okay?
That's what it would say.
That is what it would say.
No.
It's the fate. That rivalry is the... Right, some rivalries I get. It's like a historical thing. So like Manchester-Liverpool, that is an animosity that goes back to the Manchester Ship Canal and the Liverpool docks. So that is like... It's like sort of like in the DNA, this rivalry. Yeah, I get that rivalry. The Palace... I've heard a theory that the Palace-Brighton rivalry is so manufactured. This is... Don't sue me or anyone, but this is what I've heard. Alan Mullery, the then Brighton manager, and Malcolm Allison, the then Palace manager, I think they concocted this fake rivalry just to drum up a bit of interest. So I don't think it's
really
a real rivalry.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't ever feel legit, does it? Palace fans, no one seems to care about it.
So when but then a lot of fans do. It's like, oh, this is the big one. But Palace fans, please don't be mad at me. When I look at Brighton, I think, what a well-run football club.
Yeah.
Which obviously you can't say that out loud at Selhurst Park, right? But I was once, I think it was Guildford Station, there was a blind elderly couple and they needed help getting from one platform to another. So it was like along the platform, I helped them up the stairs, over a bridge, down the other side of the stairs, chat, 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 lovely couple. And then as we were saying our goodbyes, we got onto football. They asked who I supported. I said Crystal Palace. And it's almost like rage that they were Brighton fans, that a Palace fan had helped them. I thought they were going to ask me to walk them back. You know what I mean?
Unbeknownst to them, James had taken them to the wrong platform.
So it's just,
and they went to Lip, Hook and List.
I just think a lot of rivalries. For example, you can have a lovely human connection with someone, like genuinely get on well, could be friends, and what you find out that you support rival football teams. Oh, I've just remembered that I'm supposed to hate you.
Yeah,
it's total bollocks.
The A23 derby.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
The road that connects it.
It's too far away, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
And also
it's
too far away to be a rival.
Someone was saying, because I actually asked this question a few years back when I used to have my football YouTube series where there was, I used to talk about the rivalry, and someone said it's because, and this actually makes me want to be sick, it's because it's Eagles and Seagulls.
Good God.
But even the nickname is, that's not a real nickname. So we're originally the Glaziers because of the original Crystal Palace building.
Right.
And so the Eagles nickname, I think, is a Malcolm Allison construct, as is the red and blue Barcelona kit. So Don Revy sort of nicked the... I think his quote was something like, if it's good enough for Real Madrid, it's good enough for Leeds United. So that wasn't Leeds' original colours. Don Revy brought in the all-white to look like Real Madrid. And I think it was Allison... if it wasn't, I apologise, but I think it was Malcolm Allison had them dress in the Barcelona kit to look like. But so it's all really? It's all
cosplay.
Bollocks. It's Barcelona cosplay.
It's fancy dress, a good Spanish team.
Cosplay.
So the nickname was yeah. changed from. Speaking of Spanish cosplay,
okay, here we go.
My kid's primary school is Culture Week now because and my wife's the same. Our culture, we're like the most English people ever. Like all our roots are just. All English.
Brexit.
So all the other kids, yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing, really. So all the other kids dressed in these beautiful outfits from around the world. And because we're so English, my youngest kid, we dressed her as a Spanish dancer because we've been to Spain on holiday.
My God. Because she's seen an emoji. So you know that's culture, isn't it?
Oh my God! So we are the Glaziers, and then it was changed to Eagles.
I didn't know that, the Glaziers.
So I'm so thin skinned that when I was the Crystal Palace correspondent on the Croydon Advertiser, I would write all the match reports. I'd interview the players, and it was a sweet gig, right? But there was a character called Mr. Glazier, and the gag was it was a bit like Mr. Chumley Warner, the old Harry Enfield thing. And I would write this first person piece every single week, pretending to be this mascot, Mr. Glazier, from this bygone time of the 20s. And when I used to get, not savaged, but on the message boards, I used to get quite a bit of grief from the Palace fans because my play ratings were too generous. And By the way,
that
abuse
does not surprise me.
That abuse was entirely justified, right? Yeah. But part of my mindset was...
But you're hanging around with them as well.
Part of my mindset was, thank you, Lloyd, was that I had to be at the training ground once or twice a week, interviewing the players after every single match. You know, like, I got to know them all. So I was thinking, if I give them like a two or whatever, that person is quite understandably not going to speak to me. So my ratings were often generous. And one guy had given a proper kick in about me and my player ratings. But then he wrote, but whoever writes Mr. Glazier, he's a good writer. And then on the day that I left, I'd had this in my locker for however many years it had been and revealed like, ha, ta-da, and I'm Mr. Glazier as well.
Ripping off the mask.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I think I probably got it quite easy on the message boards, given Twitter and all of that. So maybe I should get over that, I guess.
No, I think it's good. Message boards are far more vitriolic, I think, than I mean, Twitter obviously has become untenable. Threads, meanwhile.
Oh, yeah. What about those sweet, sweet threads? But we got hammered 5-0 away at Wigan, Steve Kemba's last match, and I gave them all, like, very generous. Very. And the comments were like, he can't have been at the match. And
he
I was thinking, yeah, literally that. And I was like, I was thinking, I didn't want to put it. I never ever said anything apart from the day that I left. But I was at the match, but I've also got to be at the training ground on Monday morning.
Yeah.
You know.
I get that. And I see a lot, especially with Grimsby, people going, he's not asking the right questions again. There's no right or wrong questions, but you have to, if you ask such shit questions and piss off the manager or chair, you ain't getting asked back. You know, it's not getting asked back, but it's,
you're correct.
You've got to play it.
I won't say which one because I know the person, but there's a very, very famous clip where a journalist asks someone a question and it went viral.
Robert Pesner.
I'll tell you off mic.
Okay.
And you know, great, well done. In the short term, you've gone viral. But I know for a fact that that dude was banned from ever doing that sort of thing again, you know.
Yeah.
Always got to think long term.
The managers control the press is what I'm hearing. It's all a conspiracy. It goes all the way to the top. Yeah. It's like, this is like the Tories.
Yeah.
They're in the pocket. We can't do anything about it. If you get rid of the Brighton rivalry, just to get back, one, solves a big B issue for you anyway.
Oh, very good.
But two, are you trying to get another rivalry or are you just going, we don't have a rival as Palace? Are you trying to go find a nearer club?
The rivalry thing is a real thing. It's a bit of an issue for me because we got relegated away at Charlton, last day of the Premier League, and some Palace fans to this day say that Charlton fans, they celebrated our relegation too much. But like, if the shoe was on the other foot, our fans would have done the same. So I don't massively go in. I get that one of the reasons that football is so popular is that it's tribal. My town is better than your town, right? Mm. So I get. For you, like, almost specifically, Arsenal, Spurs, the North London thing, bragging rights, sure thing. But I personally just, I've never really gone for it.
Like,
no.
And like, I get doing gigs, if I say I'm from Grimsby, people go, oh, Conheads, up the Imps. I'm like going, sure. Happy?
Yeah. Let's move on. That. Well, the Spurs Arsenal one comes from the fact that they were based in Woolwich and then we were the
Woolwich
North
Arsenal.
London team.
Sure.
Then they came and moved in. And also, you know, various other things that have happened since winning the league at White Hart Lane, Sol Campbell, etc.
Of course.
But at the same time, it's quite draining, isn't it?
It's so draining. And put your energy towards something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So you've got the sponsor, which is, guys, which grow is, the fuck up. There's no rivalry anymore.
It's not a real rivalry.
The badge is a date.
Today's date.
Okay, and... You're going to be... What's your nickname? Are you getting rid of Eagles? Are you going back to Glaziers?
I think maybe go back to Glaziers. For example, when Jamie Vardy did that mocking Eagle celebration,
yeah,
and I know a few Palace fans who agree with this, hilarious.
Harry looking very happy right now.
I thought that was so funny. And I know Palace fans that were like, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
You just know that whilst he was doing it, he's going...
Definitely.
Just in the way he goes, oh, he's Denmark friends.
I've met him. I warmed up a show he was on. He's like legit funny, isn't he? Yeah, he's a funny guy.
I have met him and
he had
absolutely no time for me whatsoever.
Oh.
Okay. Fair enough. Very few of us do, to be honest.
So I had an idea. This might be a terrible idea. And I'll be honest with you, when I was writing all this gear, you know when gear makes you laugh, you think, that's got
mileage.
And also
for the list, we should stipulate that in the comedy world, like jokes and material is known as gear.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I was doing all this
gear yesterday, coming up with this mad.
I actually said this
back
home.
Weekend at Bernie shit.
I was like, oh, I did this gig. They're like, I got through so much gear. They're like, are you still all right? I was like, well, yeah. And they're like, how can you go on stage high? I was like, oh, no, it's not gear. Like, yeah.
I'm glad you said that because I get so hyper sometimes that some listeners probably are thinking, I believe that he was on gear. So maybe every time we score a goal, there's like this, right?
Get the
gear out. I would to answer another one of your future questions. I would.
so predictable.
So Crystal Palace should be in Crystal Palace, and it's not. It's at Selhurst, right? So I'm sure we can all agree that down the years, thousands of fans must have got off at Crystal Palace and gone, time for a brisk walk, and then someone's gone, it's a 40-minute walk, right? So we would relocate from Selhurst to actual Crystal Palace, but we have tried to move there, and the residents, not unreasonably, have said,
fuck
no,
off.
Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you.
Nevertheless, that's where we're moving.
Yeah.
And for the Glaziers theme, maybe every time we score a goal, there is a glass smashing sound effect.
Oh, like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Exactly like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, this is very thin-skinned, because part of the intention there is for every single resident who complained that they would think that someone's just put one of their windows through.
Right. Okay.
So oh my God, what's happened?
Fear into the local area. Oh,
Eze scored another bloody goal. So yeah, I might do that.
What's the mascot going to be then?
I think it might be Mr. I think it might be... Oh, right. I've got two suggestions. Maybe we go back to Mr. Glazier. I'll show you a picture. He's like an old-timey...
Every time you're saying this, all I can think about is the Manchester United.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking about
I was
very careful
American
putting
lads.
That I in there. Yeah. Glazier rather than Glazer. Or what the mascot might be the letter K from the Krypton Factor as another reminder.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Lovely. Keep it in their heads.
Yeah, as another reminder. Guys,
it's
you never
not actually
it.
That good.
Now, does that mean that we have to actually change the name of the football club to Crystal Palace with a K?
Oh.
And yeah.
Love that. Palace sound like a porn star with a
K. That is outstanding.
That's very good. Can you call it as well like Crystal Palace?
Crystal Palace.
Like
yeah,
champagne.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get a bit
Crystal,
baller in there.
Well, actually, also
sure, your squad's all children, but why not have a porn star's name?
And also as well... And
more champagne children.
When I do think of Crystal, I do think of a certain rapper who has been cancelled due to, shall we say, children.
He
believed he could fly like an eagle. Okay.
Oh, so... it all adds up. It all goes straight to the top. Oh, no. He'll never speak to a journalist again.
Those conspiracy theories were right.
Yeah.
Pizzagate, what?
Okay, so what? That's pretty well established, I'd say. There's a good brand running through there.
Yes.
I think the K is the best way to do it.
The away end.
Make sure you've only got one mascot, not three. Can't have them walking around.
The
all of a sudden, no one cares about R. Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. The champagne thing's not an issue.
So I'd like to apologise to a lot of the fans who have been in the away end down the years, because it used to be, it's got a lot better thanks to the wonderful new owners, but when it was a bit of a hovel, it was porter cabin toilets, wasn't it?
Oh. Well, when we played like 5-6 years ago.
Oh no, I'm going back further than that.
Crikey, no,
it was
Glastow. So what, a sort of Glastow stadium vibe.
Long drops.
So what we would do now for the away fans is we would give them a bit like we're sat on now, comfy sofa armchair vibes, right? So the away fans think, wow, the owner Mr. Gill. He truly is sorry for what the away end used to be like, and he's kitted us out in these beautiful seats. However, as us comedians know, nothing kills a noise more than comfy seats. Can I say,
but that's why Arsenal is so quiet, because the seats are so fucking comfy at the Emirates. So you're onto something.
So
it's one of the reasons.
So Steve Martin's book, Born Standing Up, he says how comedy audiences seating needs to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Probably not going to make the mail online, but we deliberately have uncomfortable seating at Always Be Comedy off the back of that. So we got some new chairs in, and the owner said, would you like comfier chairs? And I went, no, even more uncomfortable.
Make them horrible.
So we have metal chairs deliberately. So the Peter Andre Bowl would have metal seating for the fans. Great. Slightly uncomfortable, but the noise would be outstanding. And the away end would be like a library. So absolutely.
They're too chilled. They're too zen.
Exactly. Yeah. We'd win every home game.
That's a really, yeah, that's especially psychologically, that's great.
Thank you very much. So the away fans think I've done a nice thing. I haven't. I've tricked them all.
How does that? Are you going to translate that to the dressing rooms at all? To the changing rooms? I mean, it's not quite the same thing, but as in, if you were to make the away one, because typically they make it really uncomfortable.
They do.
Right? And they make the home one really nice and plush. But maybe it should be same logic, other way around. Get the players to relax. They don't want to leave there. They don't want to go on the pitch.
That's a great idea.
Get your team desperate to get out there on the pitch.
Lovely, like aromatherapy through the system. Yeah. I mean?
Superb.
Make soft it a little music.
Bit meditational music. Yeah.
Wanking them off.
Yes, yeah. I'll do that. Absolutely. Yeah. Said that a bit too quickly. Yeah. Thanks for coming, Liverpool. Right, we'll start with you, Mr.
Hello,
Allison.
Thanks for coming.
Grimsby Town don't have a plug socket in the away end. So if you want to put music on or use anything, you've got to use an extension cable. And the extension cable has to go out through the door, which means the door is always never shut. So it's always slightly ajar, which is a psychological thing.
Jesus Christ. So you feel like you can't share tactics?
Essentially, so yeah. Like you, it's not
I'd rather lose.
But I went to, I used to do these for the Leicester Comedy Festival. I did some tours of Leicester Tigers stadium. It's really interesting. You must have been. It's a great, great stadium, but they're away changing rooms are absolutely awful. So each rugby player is probably what, about average height of about 6 foot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The showers, 4'2".
Love that.
So if you want a shower, if you want a shower, you've got to basically like hovel. The seats in the dressing room, changing room, are so low that basically they get like that it hurts their knees.
Yeah.
So
love
it's
it.
Great,
nice.
Isn't it? It's the psychological.
Love it, but I do think it should
edge.
Be the other way around. I think we should try it. You should trial it the other way around.
Lovely
make
carpets.
The home ones uncomfortable. Make the away one so blissful.
See how it goes. First dozen matches. I think we're onto something.
Because you need to get up for it, obviously. We all know this. You can't.
Because they'll be angry. The kids will be furious.
Yeah, exactly.
Superb. Now, catering, just to answer one
that
of
that was
your
my next question, yeah.
Coming questions.
Great.
So, comes back to this thin skin thing. As we were getting relegated, 04-05, Clive Tilsley was in the media room at Sellers Park. Now, our food back then wasn't great in the press room. Away matches, it was extraordinary. Villa Park, the food there for the press, brilliant. Stadium of Light, beautiful. You know, and on and on and on. Ours was like cheese sandwiches. And as we were getting relegated, but not yet relegated, Clive Tilsley said, this is championship food, right? And it really upset me, right? Even though it turns out he was absolutely correct. So why would
it's also what a funny slam that is. What a very niche.
But he talks in that voice. That is not like a, you know, like some commentators, right, are you putting this on? He talks like that all the time, quite literally. Relegation food. And so the catering would have to be, and again, I'm hemorrhaging cash, it's caviar and lobster. And I would invite Clive Tilsley back purely so that I could go, yeah, is this championship food now, Clive? I would like to formally apologise, because as it turns out, Clive was absolutely correct. We did go on to get relegated. The sandwiches weren't very nice. And Clive, you were correct. You were right. It was championship food.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he was right. If you're holding on to it still, you've got to find a way to get rid of it.
What matters is that I remembered it.
You remembered it.
So maybe Clive comes back as the official match day announcer. Bygones be bygones.
But he has to eat all the food.
But he has to eat all
yes,
the food.
Yes, as a punishment, as a sort of biblical punishment.
We hug it out.
Fable style.
How about
he'd be really good at that. He'd
Clive,
be good at
Clive reads out the menus for the food for the day. like as a stadium announcer. And then at the end, I think we can all agree, this is Premier League food.
Champions League.
Just so you can have full closure.
That's nice.
This is Champions League. This is 12th place food. In brackets, with an FA Cup win.
Now, James, what's next on our list to ask you?
It is... Oh, statue.
Okay, right.
Are you having a statue?
Right, so when I covered... This is quite an it's an emotional story, but I think about this lad so much. We, in the playoff semi-final, second leg, away at Sunderland, we are heading out, right? And then we get a last-minute corner. Sean Derry swings it in. Darren Powell, whose thigh strain I've worried about every day that season, Powell, our centre-back, leaps like a salmon, heads it in. And Ian Dowie said, in the loveliest way possible, you know when someone loses the plot because they're like in the zone? Mm. Powell, he's gone. He's not on planet Earth. Dives into the crowd. And then Dowie collared me at the training ground a couple of days later and he said, I need you to do me a favour. And I said, what? And he said, when Powell had lost it and dived into the crowd, he knocked a lad out of his wheelchair. And he said, what I need you to do is track down the lad, put a call out in the local paper and track this guy out. So we put something in the paper. Crystal Palace would love your help. They apologise and they want to sort something out. Anyway, paper goes out, phone rings, and it's this dude. Straight away, I always cry when I think about this guy. He goes, because we were about to play the playoff final, and he goes straight off. He goes, please tell Ian and the team not to worry. All I care about is that they're up for the final, and I'm fine. And you know, it was an amazing moment. And I please tell Ian and the boys not to worry. All I care about is that we win the final and we beat West Ham. And so we put it in the paper, and then they got him at Sellers Park. Darren Powell presents him with a shirt, and this guy, I mean, I'm gonna cry now. This guy he was like the purest, sweetest soul I've ever. So on the I was at the local paper, and I'm cradling the phone while I'm typing what he's saying, but there are also tears like down my cheeks because his purity is like nothing I've ever experienced. The football club was more important to him than his own well-being.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the statue is of that dude, and I think about him so often, just in terms of like what a well-rounded, he's the kind of football fan that I'm talking to,
right?
When I say about positivity and being
appreciated, and he represents everything you're getting at, which is this is great. It was awful. That just you've got to just embrace it, live in the now.
Embrace it, live in the now. This is great.
Presumably, you lost that final.
We beat West Ham in the final.
Oh, lovely stuff.
Well done.
Can I tell you a story about Ian Dowie's team talk?
Yeah.
This is. If you thought that last story was a bit emotional, Ian Dowie was the master of the pre-match team talk, right? And then before the playoff final, he gives this team talk. Now, in the team was Michael Hughes, the veteran central midfielder and a close friend of Ian Dowie's because they played for Northern Ireland together. And anyway, Ian Dowie gives this team talk and he says, right, it's all down to this, the playoff final. We win this, we're in the Premier League. All the hard work pays off. He says, I want you to do this for whoever it was who bought you your first pair of football boots. He says, whoever it was, you got them from school, they took you down to the local park and they kicked around with you. There was dog shit in the park, but it didn't matter to them because all they cared about was you with your first pair of boots, chasing your dream. He goes, for me, I'm doing it for my dad. And when they're, oh God, here we go. He goes, when we kick off, his dad had passed away. He goes, when we kick off, he says, I'm going to turn around and I know that my dad's watching. And he says, when we kick off, I want you to think about whoever might be looking down on you, and you do it for them, right? Some players were crying, and the full time the kick off, and the on the B of the bang, Palace were up for it, and we beat them. It's 1-0, but we actually beat them quite comfortably. Anyway, given the speech, Michael Hughes runs over to Ian Dowie and whispers in his ear, "Was he watching?" Right. So I told this story to John Bishop, who I knew wasn't really listening. He was having his makeup done on back of the net. And I got to... Now, I've told this story to Kevin Day, who was literally Niagara Falls sobbing. And I told Ian Dowie, and I got to the end, and I said, Michael Hughes goes, was he watching? And John goes, and was he? And I went, what? And John's like, what had he got, like, stuck in traffic or something? I was like, no, the dad's dead. Oh, I didn't pick up on that at all.
I didn't pick up on that at all.
Oh,
my God.
The speech bit. You remember the speech bit?
It's look,
bitch.
That was quite sad for me to hear for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
The main one is that while that is obviously an incredible team talk and very emotional story, ever since Ange Postecoglou became the Spurs manager, they've been publishing a lot of his team talks at Celtic, and almost word for word, that is one of
them. Is it really?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm now wondering, is that one that does the rounds?
Wow. You know,
is that like a download of best man
Reece,
speech
Reece,
type stuff?
It really does go all the way to the top.
Literally.
When you were saying
he literally
this.
Goes, I'm doing it. It's about who took you to the park and all that. I'm doing it for my dad. My dad is dead.
Wow.
As you were saying that, I was going, I'm going to tell Paul Hurst, the Grimsby manager, to say that.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking, I'm going to tell him
it
this.
It goes all the way.
That's wonderful, isn't it? So that's
But in your team as well, if you were doing that in your team, if Roy was doing that to your squad, it would have to be like, do this for the person who took you to that park 1 week ago because you're six.
I need to blame the emotion. So you're doing it for your great, great granddad.
Through everything with you ever since, you know, a month ago when you're playing in the park to now when you're playing for Palace. Oh, God.
He bought you those boots. Ryan, the receipt's still hanging out for you. Get some nail scissors for Ryan.
As you know, we can't decide whether you're fit and proper. That is done by the supercomputer.
Of course.
And the supercomputer often, you know, we'll throw up a community chest, a scenario that just sees how you react to a situation as a club owner. And let me just type in. Whoop. Oh, Reece, do you mind reading that out?
Yeah, throw up this scenario for you, James. Here we go. Over the years, you have noticed a super fan at Selhurst Park. He sits in the front row. He claps, cheers and chants the loudest by far. The players love him, as you can see from the amount of selfies he takes with them and the blog in which he praises their performances each week. In fact, many players say it's not the same on the rare occasions this superfan isn't in the stadium. It makes it much harder to perform well when he's absent. Unfortunately, he has been scouted by a bigger club and is now being offered perks at Liverpool. It sure seems you're in hot water here. How do you win him back without knowing what the perks he's being offered are and without wanting to give him money to expose that you have to pay your fans?
I'm going to take a huge step here. We move on without him.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. How's he going to feel when he listens to this, James?
I take you back to my original speech, live in the here and now.
Okay, if he doesn't want to be here.
He didn't want to be here.
Yeah.
This is all about the pit. Look at that statue. He wanted to be here.
Yeah.
It's all about the people that do want to be here. So I'm afraid we would have to move on. The past is in the past.
Okay, so just for the listeners, we need to explain why that's still quite funny between the
Richard,
three of us.
If you're listening, I don't mean this. You're a very dear friend. I'm very grateful for all the support. Please don't ever leave us.
At James's gig, always be comedy. Richard Gill, no relation.
No relation.
From Carlisle, big Carlisle fan, goes to Carlisle games.
Biggest laugh you'll ever hear, sits in the front row. If he's ever at a gig, you know you're about to have an absolute blinder. There's a psychology in a comedy audience where if you're not the loudest laugher, you sort of raise your volume a lot. You just don't want, a lot of people don't want to be the loudest one. And so when Richard's in the room, there's no chance of you being the loudest one. So the sort of medium volume becomes very high, and he's great to be there.
And one of the reasons why he's great, because I'm pretty confident he's now listening the more that I talk.
Oh, he's definitely listening.
But he's a bit like a pacemaker in athletics.
Yeah.
And that he can really set the tone. So when he's up for it from the off, he's a bit like Palace have got those. I mean, they're not ultras, obviously, because you know that's a whole different ballgame. But the Palace ultras, we'll call them, since they came into the club. They sit behind in the main stand behind the goal, and they are incredible. They start the chants, they're banging the drums. The impact they've had on the club is profound because Selhurst was less positive before they got on board. And so I guess Richard is Always Be Comedy's equivalent of the lads that...
He's an ultra. He is an Always Be Comedy ultra.
The guys that sit behind the goal.
But that's got that scenario has nothing to do with him. That was a coincidence.
Of course. But
I read that.
We have because we've got the ultras, they wouldn't believe him. We don't just have one Richard Gill. We've got a whole squadron of Richard Gills. So I know we're going to be absolutely fine.
So you don't have to get him on the pitch at halftime to sing We're Halfway
Sweet
There.
Caroline. No. 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 We're Richard... I can't emphasize this enough. Don't ever leave. But now we've moved on, and the ultras will sing We're Halfway There.
Great. Lovely. Perfect.
Have you got any other rules or regulations that you're bringing in?
Yes.
Okay. Page 3.
Rules and regulations. So one of the rules is, I've already touched on it at the start, nostalgia is banned. And then also...
Memories are bad.
As I've touched on there is such a thing as the Selhurst groan. So pre-ultras... they're not called what they call it. Anyway, pre-ultras, let's go with ultras. there was this thing where if there was a misplaced pass, you'd get this. And I played in a charity match recently, and a lad on the opposing team miscontrolled the ball because he's not a professional footballer, and it went out for a throw-in. And even at a charity match, the crowd went, and someone on our team, they blew for full time, and someone on our team went up to this lad, and they went, they didn't mean anything bad by it, but they went, when you miscontrolled the ball, did you hear all the crowd go, and he went, what? So it was like, you'll live with that for the rest of your life, mate.
Yeah.
He didn't know. He was like so in the moment that he couldn't hear it. But yeah, it's so that would
so
be
the groan is banned.
The groan is banned as well. Yeah.
How are you banning the groan?
How are you policing that?
How are you banning the right? Okay, I'm banning the groan by threatening another patronising talk at halftime. That another finger wag.
Oh, James, I think they're whooping.
yeah. That would do it. That would do the trick. He's correct.
Right. Well, I think we've got all the data need.
It just looks like it's filling up there nicely.
So I think it's just time to press enter on the old supercomputer.
Okay, 1 second. Let me just do that now.
You are fit and proper.
You are fit and
thrilled
proper.
Thrilled to say.
Relief.
There's a few reasons. One, don't think you could have handled it if you weren't.
I'd got another podcast in terms of being thin-skinned. On a podcast.
It would ruin your week minimum. But also,
pages of notes. I mean,
there's nothing. Yeah, a lot of prep. A lot of work's gone into it. There's nothing. You've got your statue. You're trying to live in the moment. Life is all about being present. I think a lot of us struggle with that.
Giving opportunities so to children.
And also you're employing the young and the elderly because you're keeping Roy Hodgson in employment long after death. So it's all worth it.
Full spectrum.
You're getting rid of a rivalry as well. It's basically kind of a Buddhist approach, I'd say. Living in the moment, no rivals.
A Kofi Annan approach.
Is that who you mean?
Kofi Annan, UN.
Yeah.
He was all about peace, weren't he?
When you say Buddhism, Kofi Annan's not my go-to.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That was all because what you can see was that Reese and I did like a record scratch.
Yeah, Kofi Annan.
No, but as in Buddhism, comma, Kofi Annan.
You can't just say the word comma and think it makes it all right.
Let's think of a great Christian, Mikhail Gorbachev.
Okay.
Lloyd's sad now.
No, I'm not. I'm not sad. I can never get sad.
If I know Lloyd, he's got an anecdote about a time he met Kofi Annan. Yeah, he's just trying to get that in.
I've never met
Kofi Annan.
Just
teeing that up.
I've never met Kofi Annan. Jens Stoltenberg.
We're back in the game.
Definitely fit and proper, I'd say.
100% fit and proper.
The Buddhist thing, I like that. Thanks very much. The Peter Andre Bowl will be a nice place.
Yeah, so it's the Peter Andre Bowl in Crystal Palace.
And even the negatives that you're doing, the sort of like cons, are actually kind of disguised as positives. The seating arrangement the away fans, for example, is actually kind of a positive in some ways. So,
can I give you an alternative statue that's quicker and not emotional? Would that help?
you're
too sad a story, that, I think, isn't it? It's a nice story, but it's not funny.
It is nice,
all right. It's nice to have the balance.
For the statue, I would have Peter Andre. Do you remember Fulham had that Michael Jackson statue?
Yes.
So weird. So we would have Peter Andre, and then what it would do is you would go over to it and you would push a button and he would sing Hotel California.
Lovely.
Great.
Yeah.
Perfect. Even though you're not the Eagles anymore.
Purely for the callback.
Yeah. It's a constant callback to a story on this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you sing at halftime?
Absolutely, if you've got the budget.
That's a shame. Peter, if you're listening, you're back in.
Well, James Gill, thank you very much for coming on Fit and Proper. Thank you for being fit and proper.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening.
My pleasure.
And thank you to Kofi Annan.
Could you tell that I'd listened?
It was lovely. Lovely.
It's the most seriously anyone's taking it, I'd say.
Thanks very much. I always think if someone's been nice enough to invite you on, you do the work. Mm.
And I look forward to, in 3 weeks' time, really having to explain to Ramesh for the fifth time what the podcast is about. But for now, James Gill, thank you.
Thanks, lads.
That is exactly what I thought a James Gill episode of Fit and Proper would be.
When he said that he would get in trouble because he would be too positive with his player ratings. Now, we talked about Always Be Comedy in the intro in part one. James Gill is famous in the comedy community as well for you'll get an Instagram story when you're on stage at Always Be Comedy, and it will say absolute roofing from and your name. And if you haven't got one of those, you know you had an absolute shocker relative to the gig. If it doesn't say absolute roofing, he'll also go, how good was that guy? That's famously his catchphrase. How good was that guy?
So what he does, he used to wear a flat cap a lot of the time. He doesn't as much anymore. He'll put his microphone under his armpit, in his armpit,
yes,
and clap so that he's clapping because he appreciates it so much, which then means that the whole crowd then clap as well. So he's got this weird, incredible way of cultivating such a lovely, happy atmosphere.
Yeah, he'll call you a maestro.
He'll call you a maestro.
Lovely to hear.
The maestro himself, the OG, the GOAT, he'll call you all of that.
Yeah, loads of stuff. In fact, it's a shame that he's a sort of owning Palace because he'd be a great manager. Great man manager.
Can
motivational.
I say, there was a gig a few months back that I did for Always Be Comedy, and I was like, mate, there was no photo of me. Like, you put up photos of everyone, there was no photo of me. And he's like, do you know what, man? Do you know why? And I was like, go on. He went, I was enjoying it so much, I forgot about my phone. And I was like, oh my God, that's great. Lloyd. About an hour later, I was like, that was definitely bullshit.
That sounds like one of those, I'm Mark Wahlberg and Lady Gaga and I'd like to hang out with you, please,
oh,
anecdotes.
Fuck,
it's something they say. These Hollywood superstars like James say
me.
That. He's absolutely Wahlberged you.
What an episode from James Gill.
Lovely stuff. I mean, the level of prep I'm looking for from all future guests. If you're listening to this as a reference, future guests, to see what you're supposed to do.
Future guests are not listening to this. James Gill is the only guest.
Yeah, James. Cheers, James, basically.
So, hey, James, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
The listeners
and James
also
will
James.
Be listening to this.
But 4 pages of notes means that... And this is the thing, I think about taking over Grimsby on a daily, if not hourly basis. And I think with some fans, it really resonates. And with some guests, it's like, this is...
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And I liked it. It was lovely. It was emotional. So many good stories from, you know, having lived it, having breathed it. And I'm in.
And having been on the inside. Also, our second guest to be a fan of a club because they were the journalist of that about that club. Can
Glenn
you remember
Moore.
Who the other one is? Glenn Moore.
Come on. Can I remember? I remember every single guest. I remember their breath. I remember what they wear.
Packer a bad.
No kiss from a man.
Famously.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this, please do give us... Oh, do you know what? Sorry, I wasn't going to bring it up. We got a really nice review on iTunes the other week. Really lovely review on iTunes. Gave us 3 stars.
I actually did see this. Yeah,
really,
it was like, this is a great fit and proper
really?
Podcast. 3 stars. It's like the Guardian room my show all over again.
Definitely a proper pod. From Nobby F. Really entertaining, funny show by 2 comics who, if you smash their names together, sound like Wales's next centre forward. 3 stars.
3 stars,
what
yeah.
What the fuck,
must have been
Nobby
written by
F.
Brian Logan. Because every Brian Logan review I've ever got in The Guardian is like an almost impossible amount of jokes to pack into a show. Every single one of them working. 3 stars.
Can a comedian get by with just jokes alone?
Yeah, famously.
2 stars.
Yeah. Absolute drivel. Well,
I mean, admittedly, 10,000 people in this arena liked him, but what about the rest of us?
Yeah.
There is no rest of you, prick. Anyway.
What about me and my life and my existence?
So if you've enjoyed it, please do give us a... I don't want to sound like a beggy thing, but it does help us get found. 5 stars would be great. Share it, like it. And we love you.
Yeah, and we'll see you next time.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Wow.